Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. Today's early bird secret password is predator. Today's early bird secret password is predator. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Wednesday, October 19th. Can you believe it? October 19th! And I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. It's ever so popular. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners just like yourself from around the world. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. If you're listening live right now, you're automatically in the chat room, but if you're not registered, you're in there as a guest. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, talk about all our hobby and passion of backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, urban gardening, preparedness, and a whole lot more. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today, and again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by our good friends at ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. You have the chickens, the coop, and the run. But do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We have a great show lined up for you today. It, of course, is Hump Day. It's Wednesday. We're halfway through the week. And next thing you know, it's going to be Fun Friday here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. But you know what? It can be also a fun Wednesday because all I have to do is bring on my wonderful co-host. And then, of course, it will be a fun Wednesday. My wonderful co-host, poultry advocate, author, and world-renowned speaker and workshop extraordinaire, Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Whisper, yeah. Ooh, and today, because it's Hump Day, was also Farmer's Market Day here in Lexington. Ruh-roh. Yes, I had a cup of tea. I had a cup of tea this morning. What can I say?
Tea's fair.
Tea's fair, yeah. I had to give up the coffee. It was just too much for my little body. What can I say? there was a really funny poster that I saw down at the this is so cool. It's this poster of a chicken, and it has this real wording on it. It says, I dream of a world where chickens can cross the road mm-hmm. without getting into trouble from the city council.
Yes.
I dream of that world, too, and I know you do, too, and I think it's going to happen pretty much 100%. It's too good not to happen, so, yeah. Well, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. It's a little cool and brisk outside, and because we had a cold front move through yesterday. Let me tell you how awesome the good Lord is, and it just was absolutely fabulous yesterday. Of course, I called in and ranted a little bit about something I know little about, and that's the Occupy Sesame Street movement. And it's not Occupy Sesame Street. It's Occupy Wall Street. But a lot of people, they should be watching Sesame Street because they need – anyway, so called in, ran a little bit about that. Hope you had a great show yesterday with Andrew.
Yeah.
But I had to go and help my wife. It was her first, basically, I think it was your first kind of field trip that you, by yourself for your class and the school. So, yeah, it was fabulous. We had a great time. We were at Lane Packaging and Farms and, pecans and the pumpkin patch and the hay rides and the corn maze and all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
It was very successful. But it just started to rain just as towards the end, which we knew it was going to, the rain was coming, and so we timed it perfectly. But we got home and I told Jen, I said, I looked at the radar and I said, you know what, it looks like it's going to taper off here for about an hour and a half, and I'm going to get out there and do a little fertilization and fertilize some of the garden. And so about 5 minutes after I said that, the rain stopped, and I got outside and got my bucket and a little bit of fertilizer and some good old 3400, some ammonium nitrate. Yeah, I know.
Whoa.
And
pulling out the heavy stuff.
Yeah, buddy. And I got out there and got my gloves on and no rain. And saw the clouds moving through. And by hand fertilized the whole acre garden, and really
wow.
Nice. I knew the rain was coming in, and that ammonium nitrate, just like fertilizer right out of your chicken's rear end, is hot, and it'll burn your plants. So I wanted to make sure I timed it right. Well, sure enough. No joke, about 15 minutes after I got done packing everything up and finishing, then here came the rain. I'm telling you, it was about perfect. I mentioned about wanting to fertilize the garden, and the rain stops, and then as soon as I'm done, within 15 minutes, no joke, the rain moved in, and we got about 3 hours of just great, wonderful, steady rain to wash that down into the earth and get that leafy greens a-going. So it was about perfect. And I was really glad to get that done. So, but the cold front came through. It's actually moving in now. The very, very windy outside, and it's very, very cool and brisk. But as I was out there earlier, we had a little bit of a meeting, if you will, with the city. In fact, one of the council members drove by. I saw him down there talking about my water line, and I tried to get water and irrigation to my garden for those days that we're going to probably need to irrigate it, you know, this spring, this summer. Right now we've been blessed getting rain about once a week, and it's fabulous rain. But so they were this, you know, it's old city and whatnot, but we old lines, but they brought an expert in, this gentleman I'm good friends with, Homer, who worked for the city for a long time, and he was like the water system king. So they brought him in to consult, and I think we finally got the plan in action there with the city council member and whatnot. And when they're going to actually run all the way up to my hookup, a 2-inch main, because they're concerned about my water pressure. And the guy Homer said, you won't have any problem with pressure. There's like 85 pounds of pressure on this 2-inch line. But what we're going to need to do is we'll run a 2-inch main all the way up to where you hook up, right up to where you hook up to your irrigation, and then we'll drop it down to your 3/4-inch, which you have running through the garden. And we're also going to upgrade your main from just a residential main, and we're going to put in a water main, the same main as the nursing home has up the road. So all that was very satisfactory to me, and so hopefully they're going to have to order the new commercial size main, and so that probably won't be here till next week. And I told them I'd just go ahead.
Now, do they pay for that since it's city owned, or are they charging it on to you?
Yeah, I'll have to. I said that I would take care of the upgrade to the commercial main and the upgrade from the 3/4 to the 2-inch, but it's still going to be very reasonable and a lot less than putting in a well, which eventually we'd like to do. But
yeah, our Arlena says in the chat room that she's very worried about your pressure as well. You're in for a show today.
Absolutely. But yeah, they were concerned about it and wanted to make sure I got what I needed for my garden and my agriculture and everything else that I need there. So that was good. So I was out there this morning in the brisk drizzle and the wind and taking care of that. I'm trying to think of anything else that's going on today. Depending on if the drizzle stops, I may get my coat on and head out there, get a cap on, and maybe start thinning out some of the collards. The turnips are amazing, but may thin out the collards a little bit, and or start doing that. They need to be thinned out, so may start doing that later this afternoon.
You can eat the little ones you pull up, can't you? Just clean them really well?
Collard salad? Yeah, we can, but we want to get those. We want to get them thinned out so they'll grow into big collards.
Mm-hmm.
And get them in bunches. You can probably get 3 or 4 bunches off of a plant and get the rubber bands, put them in the bags. So we're going to maybe a little too cool today. I may wait till tomorrow the sun's out and start thinning some of those out. But the garden's going well. Homestead's going very well. I'm trying to think else what's going on that we got going on. Oh, we've got a really good friend coming to visit tomorrow. I'm not sure if he's going to stay the night, but he is coming down tomorrow. So we're anxious to visit and see with him. Jen's parents are coming down this weekend, so we're looking forward to that. But all is well here at the old homestead. So we got a great show lined up for everybody today. Another great episode of Garden Wise Living with Arlena, and today the topic is garlic. Does it really repel vampires
or politicians?
Yeah. So that is today's topic, all about garlic. In fact, we got a couple of folks on my Facebook page that were saying, hey, I think it was Tally, said that she just ordered a bunch of garlic. She got it in, and they were just talking about garlic this morning. So she may be, I believe that's who it was. She may be joining us a little bit later as the chat room fills up and other people come on to learn all about garlic today on today's show. Tomorrow, we've got poultry scientist, Dr. Bridget McCrae, PhD, that's going to be joining us. And if you'll give me just a second, I'll tell you what tomorrow's topic's going to be. Let me open it up here. It'll be the 20th, October the 20th. Mm-hmm. Foot baths and signage. Foot baths and signage.
Kind of going. You mean like with signs or with the sinuses?
Signage, S-I-G-N, like a stop sign or a yield
sign. Like a stop
sign,
oh, okay.
Foot baths and signage. So we'll see what that has to store. That'll be tomorrow, October the 20th. Poultry scientist Dr. Bridget McCrae will be joining us. And then, of course, this Friday, Fun Friday, will be, I know I'll get to hear all for the people who listen on a regular basis. But, again, we want to keep everybody happy as we can. It will be a Facebook Fun Friday, So everybody who listens still has an opportunity to win prizes. They'll just have to monitor on occasion our Facebook page, and we'll be doing chicken trivia questions on our Facebook page throughout the day on Friday.
Oh, what fun. So there's no show on Friday, so don't call in. Just tune into Facebook.
And that's exactly right. And we do that because, again, over 13,000 fans on Facebook, and it gives us and our sponsors some new eyeballs, some new ears and whatnot. So they like to we're going to do that. And it gives our Facebook fans, again, that can't listen, maybe they listen to the archive on a regular basis like thousands do. They listen to the archive, they're teachers, they have full-time jobs, they're bankers, they're farmers, they're out in the field growing their crops, or whatever the case may be, they can't listen live during the day. We want to make sure that they have an opportunity to take advantage of some of the prizes we have from our sponsors as well. And so that's what we can do regarding, and that's why we do that, kind of alternate on our Facebook page for some Facebook Fun Fridays. So you can still win if you listen. It'll just be given via the Facebook. So that'll be this Friday. We try to alternate that to give everybody, including our Twitter folks, a chance to win some great prizes from our sponsors. So we'll have that this Friday. But any chickens in the news today, Pat? Do you have any you would like to share?
I do. I've got two. One announcement and one. Well, actually, I have more depending on how our time goes. But this one really is interesting. It's something that's near and dear to my heart, which is my brain. Anyway, came across from UCLA, and what they're finding, Whisper, is that researchers, they study what happens to your brain when you meditate. And I'm a meditator. I've been for a very long time, thank goodness, according to this article. But it says you can potentially meditate your way to a younger brain. What do you think about that?
Oh.
What they did is they took advantage of some innovative brain imaging techniques that is available at the UCLA laboratory for neural imaging. So they're able to really get a good picture of your brain. And they used two groups of people. They took long-term meditators as a control group, and then the other group were non-meditators. And what they're saying is the results of the images were absolutely astonishing. They found that the people who meditated had stronger connections between the brain regions. And what they're doing is they're saying these large-scale networks, the connections between different parts of our brains, it included the frontal temporal, the occipital lobes, and a whole bunch of other ones in there, as well as the brain stems. But what's more is they found that the meditators' brains hadn't shrunk as much, which is typically associated with age. Did you know that our brains shrink as we get older, Whisper?
Well, just like our bodies, but let me ask you this. Did they do any kind of study? I'm a firm believer that the more TV you watch, the smaller your brain gets as well?
I wouldn't be surprised. I think something does happen when you're in the TV mode. Yeah. Well, thank God neither of us watch TV either. But what they're saying is that their results suggest that long-term meditators have white matter fibers that are either more numerous, more dense, and more insulated throughout the brain. I mean, this is a structural change. So the way we use our brains does make a difference in how they age and how they perform. And they found that the normal age-related decline of the white matter is considerably reduced. And this is a quote from Eileen Luders. She's the study's lead author. And the researchers also found that meditation appears to be a very powerful, and they use the word powerful, mental exercise with the potential to change the physical structure of the brain. And I got to tell you, meditating is some of the hardest exercise I've ever done, because my little they call it the monkey mind, my little slippery slope mind is just off hither and yon, chitter chattering here and there. So it really is an exercise. But wait, there's more. They said that other studies seem to point in the same direction. For example, there was a Harvard University study found that people who meditated for 6 hours a week over a period of 9 years on the average had a thicker prefrontal cortex than those who didn't meditate. Now, the prefrontal cortex is important because that's our higher thought process and planning. So if you've got, that's one of the reasons why teenagers, their frontal cortex isn't developed. So if you say, what were you thinking? The chances are they were not thinking. So if you meditate, you can have a little better.
That reminds me, and Jen just shook her head when I said this. We had a German exchange student stay with us for a year. Y'all may remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't use the term dumb as dirt loosely, but I really don't. But in this particular case, it applied. And Jen, with all of her degrees in early childhood education and studies and books and things like that, she had told me one time, you are correct, that the brain is not fully developed until we're in our 20s.
Well, I thought it was even later than that, but yeah.
And the frontal lobe and the decision-making process. And so I was having a talk with her one day, and I said something like, look, you know, I don't blame you I'm trying to think, I won't remember exactly what I said, but I said something like, you know, I understand, I don't blame you for making that decision. I understand that your brain isn't fully developed yet, so I can't blame you for that. And she looked at me kind of like it, that she was insulted. And I was like, no, it's just factual information, whether you like it or not, that your brain is not fully developed yet, and so you don't have the decision-making capabilities as an adult, so or something like that. So yeah, and in her case, anyway, I won't go on that. But yeah, so it was, yeah. Very, very.
Well, I think you're right about TV viewers also having their brain shrink. But
I agree.
But the fact that as we're aging, it naturally shrinks, and if we can reverse that a little bit, maybe that could have just amazing consequences over the decades as we mature.
Interesting.
Yeah, I like that one. That was real. It's inspiring to keep meditating. Yeah. And the other one I have is, it's just an announcement. It's sort of what I'm doing today is getting ready. But up in Arlington, Virginia, there's an event. I'll be giving a workshop. It's sponsored by the Virginia Cooperative Extension, and it's tomorrow from 7 to 9. And the location is the Farlington, F-A-I-R-L-I-N-G-T-O-N, Community Center, the Farlington Community Center at 3308 South Stamford Street. And it's open to the public, and the group up there, they're still trying to convince Arlington County to allow residents to keep chickens. So we're going to be talking about urban chickens and how to get them legally. We're talking about the seven myths of urban chickens, and then also I'm going to take Oprah Henfrey up. She'll be my co-presenter, and we'll just talk about changing the chicken archetype and the way chickens can be perceived. So anyone that wants to come. They have a petition. They've got almost 1,000 signatures on it, and then there's going to be a little strategy session with the public about the next steps, about how they can convince to get the chicken across the road into their county. So that's tomorrow. And it'll be fun. I really like these kind of workshops because people are so – they want chickens so badly. It's like delaying Christmas, not having to be able to get some baby chicks. So if Arlington goes, then chances are D.C. will be shortly after it, along with Prince George's County. So this might hopefully be the start of a domino effect up there in our nation's capital area. That's all I've got, Whisper.
All righty. Sounds good. Well, good luck to you there. I saw on a, I think it was on a, what was it? It was...
Google Alerts had it on there. That just came on today. I was surprised.
Yeah, exactly. Google Alerts. Yep. Saw that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let me see if I've got any chickens in the news. I may have posted a couple here. In fact, I did. Oh, this was funny. Some of the comments were priceless. Just like some of the comments in the... just like some of the comments in the chat room. But let me get over here to the Facebook page. The title of this was Chicken Pilot Program Approved by Township Committee. Chicken Pilot Program Approved by Township Committee. I'm just going to read you some of the comments. Isn't this taking chicken empowerment a little too far? I mean, how can they even reach the instrument panel to fly?
That's good.
Cindy said, I wouldn't get on a plane if I saw a chicken in the co-pilot seat.
I don't think I would either. Oh, my God.
Yeah, chickens can't fly.
At least they'd have cocktails on the flights. I mean, you know.
Oh, that was bad. They'll have cocktails on the flight. Yeah, that's bad. Yeah. Okay, let's see. Yeah, I thought that was quite humorous about the chicken pilot program. Okay.
Why not?
I know, it's one of those bad joke Wednesdays. By a vote of 3-2, the Maplewood Township Committee approved an ordinance on Tuesday allowing for a one-year pilot program for up to 15 households in Maplewood to raise as many as 3 hens. Ooh, they're really going out.
Boy.
Wow, 3
they're
hens.
They're breaking out, aren't they?
They are. 3 hens each for egg production. The pilot will begin on March 1st, 2012 and run through February 28th, 2013 in response to public comments during the discussion period before the ordinance was introduced. The ordinance had been amended to require that each permit application gain approval from neighbors. Womp, 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 womp. How unconstitutional is that? Coop and runs are required to be raised with trays underneath to catch the poop. Food is required to be kept in indoors overnight so not to attract rats. And no household would be allowed to keep chickens in neighborhoods where rats have been reported.
Oh,
so
for heaven's sakes.
This is absolutely insane. Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
At least it's a step forward. But, you know, that neighbor's consent, every time I hear that, my hackles just rise. It's like, that is so, that's a civil liberties violation to have to get your neighbor's consent. And it just isn't right. But they should speak up against it.
Yes, they need to, because this is absolutely insane. Neighbor's approval, and our old-time listeners know what I'm about to say. You don't have to get your neighbor's approval to pop out about nine kids. They're going to be loud and obnoxious and tramping through your yard. You don't have to get neighbor's approval to have a loud Harley Davidson. You don't have to have neighbor's approval to just absolutely to have a large, vicious, barking dog or a cat that comes over and walks all over your car and craps in your garden. It's just absolutely, it's absolutely horrendous. When we see this, and then of course a neighborhood with no mice or rats, that they don't exist. It's not there. Anybody who has a cat knows that. Hey, you're gonna have that little gift at the back patio of that little mouse or rat or mole or whatever the case may be. So that's just plump stupid on their part. But like you said, it's a start. And then if they handle it right, then once this trial period is over, they can go back and use their own information against them and say, hey, how many reports were there regarding chickens? We've had them for a year. How many complaints were there? Okay. How many complaints were there about dogs and cats and loud music and nasty yards and loud kids and loud music? Let's put this in perspective. So if they do it right, they'll be able to use the town's own information against them if they're smart. So we'll see how that pans out regarding that. So,
well, it's just a leftover from the stereotype of the old way chickens were kept, you know, before chicken tractors, and you know that stationary run that was the house was built low to the ground and it was permanent, and yeah, they did have rats buried under it. It did reek. It was pretty bad, but that's not the modern way. So we're into a whole new paradigm of chicken keeping, family flocks. That's what I think.
Good deal. Good deal. All righty. Well, let's go to commercial break. It is about half past the hour, and we'll bring on Arlena Schott with Garden Wise Living, and we're going to be talking all about garlic today. Garlic today. And a reminder, Chickens in the News Every Day is brought to you by our good friends, Meyer Hatchery. Since 1985, Meyer Hatchery in Polk, Ohio has been a family-owned and operated business. Meyer Hatchery is a year-round hatchery that offers over 160 breeds of poultry, including chickens, ducks, geese, turkeys, guineas, feedfowl, and game birds, plus a full line of feed and supplies. Just need a few baby chicks? No problem. Meyer Hatchery will ship as few as three baby chicks. Check them out online at MeyerHatchery.com. That's MeyerHatchery.com.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Looking for an all-natural way to keep your flock healthy from intestinal parasites? Tired of wasting all those eggs due to a long withdrawal period? The answer is Vermex. With no artificial chemicals, Vermex has been a huge success for many species, offering a completely natural way to address intestinal hygiene control and improve general health. Check out the online store at www.vermexusa.com. VermexUSA.com to see what products you need to keep your animals healthy. Vermex, natural control of intestinal parasites.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens. And My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com. Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks. Ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality built chicken coops for every size, flock, and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com. If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try ManaPro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try ManaPro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is the third Wednesday of the month, so it means it's another great episode of Garden Wise Living with Arlena. In fact, I think I hear her on the phone now. Yep, there she is. Welcome to the show, Arlena.
Hello there, Whisper. Hello there. How are you guys?
We're hanging in there.
Okay, yeah. I'm sure glad you're back. How are you doing? How's the baby?
He is doing absolutely fabulous, growing like a weed. He's well over double his birth weight now at about 15 pounds and hanging in there. What do you shake your head, 14 and a half? Okay, a little over 14 now. So,
well,
yeah,
how wonderful.
He is awesome. He is awesome, and it's a good age now. Yep. Fatherhood is
really
awesome.
Good age.
Yep, absolutely. In fact, I have a Christmas gift coming for him today. It should be here FedEx or UPS. So I wanted to tell Jen, make sure you get that because they've already tried to deliver it once and we weren't here. So I got a Christmas gift coming for him via FedEx, UPS today. So we'll have to make sure we get that, Jen, when they knock on the door. So listen out. Jen's like, what is it? Jen's like, what is it? I can't tell you. It's a surprise. No, it's not your Christmas present. No. That's a surprise. Oh. All righty.
She wants it. She
share
wants it.
Your body since what it is.
Yeah. It is. You know, I had to revert to my. You're going to tell us what it is. How exciting.
Yeah, she's looking at me like, I'm afraid to ask. But yeah, it is a special edition 70th anniversary Red Ryder BB gun.
Oh, I'm so excited for him.
Special 70th anniversary Red Ryder single action carbine BB gun.
That's great.
on special. Came across the email the other day through GearHog. But they do, it's like Groupon, but it's through kind of like goods, but like Groupon. And I came across, and it was about, well, it was about 50% off the retail price. In fact, I saw one in the hardware store last week after I ordered it, and I did make a very good deal and purchase with that to save, a little. Yes, so I was satisfied and content with that. But
Whisper, aren't you going to save it until his frontal lobes develop?
Hey, if he's a product of my loins, his frontal lobe has already developed fully. And
as full as it will, huh?
Oh, God. Come on.
Oh, no.
He's ready.
I think we better talk about garlic now.
Yeah.
It's a little thick and deep, and I don't think we need to plant garlic since that deep, you know?
Tell you, because it's so funny. My wife said, "What are you talking about? The hole in his head hadn't even closed up yet."
Right?
Oh, gosh.
Well, anyway, today, you know what? We're going to talk about garlic. One of my absolutely, you know, I have a lot of favorites. You've heard me say about 500 million times, but I'm going to say it again. One of my absolute favorite things in the entire world is garlic. You know how you can have things that are not in your house? That is one thing that if we're out of what? Toilet paper, butter, milk, eggs, and garlic, we're in trouble, right? So garlic is a mainstay in my house. I don't think we cook many meals without a garlic. And right now, here in Wisconsin, it is garlic planting time. Wisconsin, obviously, we're chilled down to probably about 55 during the day, which means our ground temperature is dropping within maybe 68, 65 degrees, which is perfect for starting to plant our garlic and our fall bulbs. But cool weather again here in Wisconsin. Now, if you live in the warmer climates, you might have to actually wait till January and February to plant your garlic. So I'm not sure about where y'all. I know you guys are in that warm country down there. So,
why do we have to wait till the soil gets cooler for garlic?
Yes. January, February, and then you wouldn't harvest until either late summer or early fall, where we harvest midsummer, you know, end of the spring, midsummer. So it's really quite a difference, which is way cool because I enjoy the variety that there is in gardening out there. Anyway, garlic is really simple to grow, and people like to grow garlic because it's simple, very easy, easy and simple, the same word there. Anyway, it's inexpensive to grow. You can either go to your farmer's market and buy and purchase bulbs, or you can do like I did, and I went to Territorial Seed Company, and they are actually in Oregon, and they sent me some wonderful bulbs or garlic to plant, and they have, I counted, 29 varieties in their catalog alone, so they really know their garlic there in Oregon. There are over 400 varieties in the alum family, and garlic is in the alum family, which includes onions and leeks. So the most common is garlic itself in the alum family, but 400 varieties alone, which includes onions and leeks in that family. There are two sub-varieties of garlic. There's a soft neck and a hard neck, and I thought we would talk a little bit about those because it's been a while.
What about a redneck?
I'm sorry. There is redneck. That here in Wisconsin is a redneck. Yep. That's us. Oh, speaking of which, we better start in because it is 11:42, which is almost noon here in Wisconsin. But I got to – oh, it's wine time. And, you know, I actually got – a really good apple wine and a pumpkin wine here, and they were made by some local friends of mine. So I'm really going to have to try this apple wine out. You know, it's almost noon. I'll wait. There's another 30 minutes or so, right? I better get this cork out of here. But, you know, we're going to have some apple wine. Here we go. Okay, apple wine first, and it's delicious. Of course, it's apple time here in Wisconsin. Wine, yes, we're going to have some wine. So if anybody would like to get out their glass. What time is it there, Chicken Whisperer?
It's 12:43 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's noon there, so we're good, right? And you can have a sip of wine. Anyway, we're going to have apple wine and pumpkin wine later. We're not going to have any garlic wine. Sorry, can't do it. But anyway, let's talk... Since we've got our wine poured, we'll talk a little bit about the different subcultures of garlic. soft neck. Now, soft neck is the most common variety found because it's it seems to be easier to grow, and it can be plant mechanically, so obviously it's going to be, you know, more readily available. Like in your grocery stores, you're going to mostly find soft neck garlic. But it does keep longer than hard neck. So it's a really good variety. If you're just starting to grow garlic, you can guarantee you're going to get a nice crop of garlic. It's inexpensive to buy. And again, so easy to grow. It's really easy. It's easy to see what the difference is. Soft necks have white paper skin, and soft necks are used in, you know, the garlic heads. They seem to be a smaller than actually our long neck garlic, but they do better. They make more heads. Let's put it that way. So anyway, you can get 50 to 90 cloves of per pound of soft neck garlic. And soft neck is probably one of my favorites to grow. There are some other varieties that are really fun to do, you know, like the purple and the red, which they're noticeable because of the skin or the paper that forms around the bulbs is more of a purple color or red color. So it's really fun. And you know what? I wanted you to, Chicken, to watch out because I'm trying to get Territorial Seed Company to phone in and maybe talk a little bit about the differences and how to plant garlic. But if they don't, then we'll just have to deal with me. But anyway, so let's see. So we've done soft neck garlic. They're pretty much anything that you're going to find around most of the time are soft neck garlic. If you're used to cooking with garlic, you're usually in buying it at a grocery store or a farmer's market, usually it's soft neck garlic. But you can ask the farmer which one is it, soft neck, hard neck. But it's very, very easy to tell the difference because a hard neck garlic has obviously a stem on it that is hard. And a soft neck doesn't have that stem that's left after processing or picking and cleaning and hanging and drying. So they're really easy to tell the difference. Plus, hard necks are usually a little bit bigger bulbs than the soft necks. And another thing, the soft necks are the ones that they use in braids, obviously because they have a soft neck, so it's easy to braid. So if you see a braided garlic, it's usually typically a soft neck garlic. So that's an easy way to tell as well. And that's very simple. Hard neck, soft neck. So hard necks. We'll talk a little bit about hard necks. Hard necks obviously have a hard neck, but they have a skate or a stalk that coils on the top. Now it's when they're growing, for instance, you'll have your soft necks over here that'll have the long, thin leaves, and then you'll have the hard necks, but they get a scape at the top. And a scape is one of the leaves that curls really tightly. And you know, those are actually wonderful when you pick them small, sautéed with some vegetables. They're scapes, they're called. And they'll get a coil, and then on top of that, they get these little doubles or garlic flowers. And that's how you can really tell the difference. If you plant your plants and forget to mark them, and they come up in the spring, and you're really not sure what the heck's going on when it's time to harvest, which one was which, it's really easy to tell because the soft necks won't have the scapes, but the hard necks do. So that's really another great way to tell.
Orlita, can you eat the garlic flowers as well?
Yes. And the little doubles, the little tiny, they like form these teeny tiny little, a lot of us would think of them as seeds, but they're the little tiny, well, they are. They're the flower, and they make a little bulb, a garlic bulb on top, little tiny ones. And those are just fun. Those are fun to throw in and toss in. Yes, you can eat them, all edible, all the way down. And you can use hard neck or soft neck. You can cut the greens all year or all, you know, the whole time they're growing during the summertime. You can cut and use those any time you want. They're very, very edible, very nice. Kind of like garlic chives, but instead garlic chives don't produce the big, nice bulbs underneath that we're going to store and keep for the wintertime. Hard neck has fewer large cloves than soft neck. I mean, they'll have fewer cloves, but they're larger than a soft neck.
And I have found that the wrapper on the outside of the hardneck, the wrapper, there's less wrapper. So the hardnecks do not store as long or keep as long than the softnecks. That's why the softnecks are more preferred for supermarkets and for growers, because they can store them longer. They have a longer shelf life, let's put it that way. But the hardnecks usually tend to have larger bulbs or larger cloves, I guess you say. So for a cook, it's really nice to have those nice big cloves like the elephant garlic. Those would be considered the hardneck version of what we would like in garlic. Anyway, who out there does not use garlic? I know. And you know what? I had a question. Does garlic actually keep away vampires? Does it? This is Halloween, so I'm thinking we better figure out that answer. Yeah, but I don't really think it does, especially in the True Bloods and all that. I don't really think it does it? No. Anyway, so let's talk. Okay, now we've gone through hardneck and softneck.
Quick comment in the chat room, Arlena. The comment was that all the parts of garlic are edible. So do you ever use the leaves that come up?
Yes, I never
have.
All parts are edible. That's what Ewell Gibbons used to say. But all parts are edible. I can eat the tops as kind of like as an onion or a shallot or just chop it up and throw it into my saute. They all taste like garlic. All parts are edible. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. They all taste like garlic. Yes. So then, okay, now we've gone through how easy it is to grow, or that we want to grow it. So how do we plant it? We've got our garlic purchased. We went to Territorial Seeds, or we went to our farmer's market and purchased some nice garlic from those folks. If you do have seed garlic, that is, if you do have some garlic at home that's starting to sprout, you can use it, okay? You can. But I find that it's so much nicer to purchase some seed garlic that's nice and fresh and heavy, or a big clove. And that gives me some really nice garlic come summer to harvest. So here in Zone 4-5, we're planting garlic now. And what I do is, or this is what my son-in-law does and I do, we all work up our soil about 18 inches deep, only so that we know that we have some really good loose soil for those roots to start growing in come spring. Then we plant our garlic cloves about 2 to 3 inches deep. Now, if it's really big garlic, like your elephant garlic, and your cloves are really big, your bulbs, then you want to plant them deeper than that. You want to go to 4 inches deep. And you always put the tip up and the root end down, just like any other bulb. You plant them separately, not a whole monster clove or a bulb that you got from the store, but you break out the cloves and plant them separately. And try not to disturb the paper wrapping. That's kind of a protection. But if it's off, throw it in the ground anyway. It'll grow. It will.
Okay.
So then what we do is we'll cover those over, and here in Wisconsin, Zone 4-5, it's going to get cold really quick. So what we do is we cover with a light compost, or we can straw them over, which just means throwing some straw over the top. Just have to remember, come spring, that straw needs to come off when the ground starts to warm, so that those little green tops can pop up, so we know that we have some life going on there. Anyway, so there's some questions in the chat room here, and I'm missing them, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been tracking them here, Arlena. One of them is about storing garlic. Maybe that's later in your talk today.
Yes, storing it. If when I have garlic, I just leave it on the counter. That's just what I do. I have four or five bulbs sitting there on the counter. Okay, but if I harvest my garlic, you want to hang it, let it dry completely, knock off the dirt. Do not wash it. Never, never. Water is not our friend. We just hang it. Knock the dirt and the soil off. Hang them in a cool, dry place. and let them completely dry up, and that includes the tops. I like to leave the greens on as long as possible. It just seems to me like it adds more of a, it tells that garlic that we're going to be stored and we're going to need a hard paper on me, so I'm going to leave the tops on as long as possible. We're not in the business of shipping garlic, so we can just leave those tops on, tie them in bunches, hang them up, and store it that way in a cool, dry place. Now, as far as storing it over the wintertime, again, onion sacks are wonderful. Paper bags are good. If you have a place to hang them that's not going to freeze but it's not going to get too warm, stays dry and airy, that is perfect to hang garlic in. Perfect. If you don't and you just want to store some to keep longer periods of time, is really, if you peel your garlic and you throw it in a jar and throw it in the fridge, I know for a pure fact, something's going to be smelling here pretty soon, and it's not going to be good.
Right.
It does not like to store that way. If you want to store it that way, use some olive oil and put it in, take the cloves that, you know, apart, take the paper wrapping off, and put them in olive oil in a jar, and they'll last for quite a while that way. Plus, you can use that olive oil once it's garlic infused, and it's delicious. So that's probably
the best way. That doesn't
need
to be refrigerated, right? You can just leave that on the counter.
Yes, you can just leave that on the counter. But it will get rancid after 6 to 8 weeks, so you want to make sure and try to use that up and then start again and make another jar for yourself.
Okay.
But
that's good to know.
That's probably the best way I like to store
garlic. So if you put it in the refrigerator then, Arlena, does it stay longer than 8 weeks?
You can extend the time because the oil won't rancid on you. But sitting out on the counter and getting warm and heating up and cooling down, it tends to kind of change a little bit. But it takes a long time. Don't get me wrong, 6 to 8 weeks. But that's the idea. We want to use our garlic. We want to use it up and we want to cook with it because it's so good for us and it's so delicious. But if you want
there's a comment, Arlene, in the chat room from Tally says she's saying don't put the garlic in oil. There have been multiple cases of botulism.
Huh.
I used to store mine that way, but now no better. But isn't botulism, that has to be anaerobic, so as long as it's not sealed tight. Anyway,
right.
That's just a comment.
Okay. Anyway, I was wondering, is territorial seeds out there? Are they out there in the chat room anywhere? I was hoping they would.
What area code are they from?
Yeah,
is it 541?
Area code would be 541, yes.
They're here then. Okay.
They're here.
They're here. Andy, would you like to bring them on live?
Let's bring them on live. Already, you're live with Andy, Pat, and Arlena here on Backyard Poultry with a Chicken Whisperer. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Andy, Pat, and Arlena. This is Josh calling from Territorial Seed Company.
Hey, Josh.
Hi, Josh.
Welcome to the show.
How are you guys doing? I'm sitting here thinking that it's almost noon your time, and you're starting to drink apple wine, and I'm like, gosh, is it wrong to do it at 10 o'clock on the West Coast, or especially when I'm working?
You've gone right ahead. I'll take a sip to you and toast you.
Okay, if I have your permission, then I'm going to go ahead and do it as well.
You have our permission. Go right ahead.
Wonderful.
Well,
thank you.
If you were listening in, I hope I did you justice. I really do.
Yes, you did a great job of explaining the different types of garlic. I got to tell you, like whenever I come on to a radio show and discuss the different types like hard neck versus soft neck, it's always difficult to explain it on the radio because people can't actually see the actual different types of heads of garlic. But you did a wonderful job. Absolutely.
Thank you. So as I said, the two different varieties. But if you were trying to explain to somebody if they were just a first-time gardener, a first-time grower of garlic, what in your seed varieties, and I see you have almost 29, I counted here in your catalog.
Yes.
Am I wrong there, or do you have more
no,
than
you're
that?
No, you're right. Well, we also have the shallots and multiplier onions, too, which are planted at this time of the year. But, yeah, there's lots of different types of garlic.
Oh, goodness. So what variety would you suggest to be kind of a sure thing for a first-time garlic person?
Sure. So for a hard neck, I probably would recommend either the variety called Music or a variety called Dugansky. And both of those tend to, like you were explaining, they have really nice large cloves in each head, but there's only 5 to 8 cloves, I'd say, per head. And then for soft neck, something like an Italian late is a really great variety.
Don't look this way, little boy.
What's that?
What?
I don't know. I think that was Whisperer. I don't know what he was doing.
Andy, are you playing with that BB gun already?
Gosh, I was thinking
Andy.
Maybe that wine has started kicking in or something.
it takes more.
Apple wine.
Apple wine. Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's wonderful. That's exciting. And as far as planting, did I do
mm-hmm.
okay with that?
You did
okay.
Great. I mean, you know, the bottom line is, as you plant, the goal of planting garlic is you plant a clove of it, and then hopefully the following summer you get a whole head of it. So from each clove that you plant, you get a head of garlic the following season. And yeah, I mean, really just in areas where you have mild winters, that's just important after you plant it to make sure that the bed stays weeded, and well, you know, because weeds can outcompete garlic. But other than that, throughout the winter months, there's really not much to do. And then in the colder regions, like you mentioned, mulching is really important too, just so that the ground temperature, you know, when you have fluctuations, that it doesn't change too much, and so that mulch helps kind of maintain a more constant temperature.
Oh, mm-hmm. wonderful. Now, how long have you guys been doing garlic?
Gosh, well, I probably for 20-plus years now. I've been here for about 13 of them, and I know we've been doing them that long. And over the years, we've increased the different varieties as they've become available to us, and it really is amazing. I mean, not only the color of the wrappers and, you know, the amount of cloves per head, but there really are differences in flavor profiles, too. Some are really spicy, some are nice and just really robustly garlic-flavored. And I do encourage people, anyone that's listening that's never planted garlic or eaten fresh garlic out of your garden before, it tastes so much different than the store-bought stuff. It's so much better, in my opinion. But that's
much
really the case
stronger,
with any
much
homegrown.
More intense.
Exactly.
Now, the question for you is, as far as, this is a really important question,
mm-hmm.
Is it true that garlic keeps away vampires?
You know, I have noticed in my own home, it has. It really has, but you also have to remember, like, in my house, like, I have them hanging from the gutters, I have them in every window, I have them, you know, any place that I could put garlic, it's there, and so far, knock on wood, yes, it has warded off the vampires. Halloween's right around the corner, though, so we don't know.
Fleas?
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Can I give my dog or cat just a whole clove of garlic and then have it ward off fleas?
You know, I'm not familiar with that, so I'm not really sure.
Okay.
It seems to work when I do it too. So, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I've been flea free for years now, and I eat garlic all the time.
Right.
I was actually wondering. I had a question for Andy. Do chickens like garlic?
Everything in moderation.
Okay, got it.
And it will not make your eggs taste like garlic, I assure you.
Okay, good, good, good.
But they prefer it with antipasto. You know?
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
See, now I'm getting hungry, too.
Yeah, me too.
That's right. Another question I have. Now, is it true that if you remove some of the flowers in the spring, and as they're growing, excuse me, it would be midsummer for us, if you
mm-hmm.
keep those removed, will they make a stronger bulb underneath or larger?
That is correct, because the plant will basically, rather than focusing on the flower development, it'll focus its energy back on the bulb development, which, of course, is what you want. And, like you were mentioning earlier, by clipping those, they're wonderful, the little scapes, the flower scapes, are wonderful in stir fries. They have a really nice garlicky flavor. And so, yeah, I would recommend removing the flower stalks.
There you go. Wonderful information. Now, if I want to harvest. So
mm-hmm.
I wait until 3/4 of the tops are yellow? Is that what
yes,
I do?
That's exactly right. So basically, you know, come springtime, the plants are going to grow or, you know, start growing, and that's when we like to give them a high nitrogen fertilizer, something like blood meal or something like that, because the goal is to get as much green growth as possible by the time that the bulb starts developing, and because the larger the green growth, the bigger the bulb could be. And then what will happen is, like, depending on where you live, in midsummer or a little bit later on, you'll notice that the lower leaves start turning yellow. And one key misconception is a lot of folks wait until the plant completely yellows. But like you said, you want to wait until there's about 3 to 5 green leaves still left on the plant, and that's when you would harvest.
Nice. And is it true that each leaf represents a wrapper between the cloves?
That is very true, yes.
So if I have that, I want more leaves because I want, that means I have many, many layers.
Exactly. And it's, you know, it's kind of like a blanket or a protection for it. And so the more layers that you have, the longer that it can store. You'll have garlic from well into the winter months.
Wonderful. Garlic is one of my absolute favorites. No garlic wine, though. I haven't figured that one out. No, that one just isn't going to work for me.
I'll have to do some. I'll do some experimenting.
Would you please? And let us know how that garlic wine tastes.
I will.
So, as far as shipping, I know you guys are heavy into the shipping because I just received my shipment of Territory Sea Garlic.
Good.
I got an Italian late, and I received Deerfield Purple.
Ooh, that's a nice
and
one.
I received one other here. Let me get the slip out. I've already opened them. I can't stand it. where is it? I received a Dugansky. I'm sorry.
Oh, nice.
A Dugansky.
Good. Yep.
Yes.
Those are great ones.
So I'm really excited. It's perfect time for planting here in Wisconsin. Again, like we spoke earlier or talking earlier, if you're in the warmer climates, you may have to wait from January to February, correct?
That is correct, yeah. Yep.
Awesome.
And sometimes, you know, depending on where you live too, like if you're in a really southern region of the country, in general, this isn't always the case, but in general, the softnecks tend to perform better. Whereas the northern regions, again, in general, the hardnecks tend to perform a little bit better. But there is not a state in the country that cannot plant garlic. It's a very, very versatile, very hardy. It's always great because we'll always get an email come like January or February from someone in Minnesota saying that they've had 40 degree below weather over the past week or two, and they're, you know, and then they wanted to let us know that the garlic is still doing well. So it's very, very adaptable.
Yes, very adaptable. And you know what? I just saw something just the other day about planting in containers. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a small garden spot or no garden spot at all, but you have a blacktop or a patio, you can grow garlic. Now, it would have to be in the cooler regions because here in Wisconsin, we all know we can't have containers with bulbs in them because they'll freeze out during the winter months because they need Mother Earth to hold them and keep them comfortable through those cold times. But in the for instance, Chicken Whispers, their country down in Georgia, would imagine that would be very easy to grow garlic in containers there.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, as long as you, like you were saying, I mean, really cold areas, that does freeze them out. But otherwise, I'm a firm believer that you can grow anything in a container that you can in the ground as long as you give them the right requirements. And again, that would be good loose soil and make sure that there's good drainage and you keep them well watered. And, you know, if it's borderline a very cold area, you can also do things like mulching your container or wrapping stuff around it too to keep it a little less cold.
Absolutely. Sure. Mm-hmm. Here I was going to try some for containers, but what I'm going to do, since I have lots of room, is I'm going to have to drop them in the ground for the wintertime and then bring them back up, my containers back up, just because I would like to have something, you know, on my patio. I can have a garlic growing, and that'll be fun and experimental for me.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And like you were saying before, I mean, you can even clip some of the leaves and use them as you would green onions or scallions. But it has obviously a little bit more garlicky flavor to it. And yeah, it's a very versatile in the sense that you were discussing before, that all the parts are edible.
Sure. We have a question in the chat room. Moto Clown says, "How many plants do you get from a pound of raw garlic? How many plants?"
Sure, and that, again, depends on whether it's a hardneck or softneck. A hardneck has approximately 40 to 65 cloves per pound. So, say between 40 and 50 plants per pound. Softnecks, because there's more cloves that are smaller, they have about 50 to 90. Depending on the variety. And there is a big variance in the variety. But, yeah, I mean, the goal is to have one plant from each clove. So, yeah, anywhere from 30 to 90 based on the variety and size.
Right. And then sweet potato, she asked, do the garlic plants get flowers? And I think we did speak about that. Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead, and you can answer that one.
Yep, yeah. And the one other thing that I should mention about planting when we're talking about the cloves per pound, the really, really small ones that you oftentimes, you know, even if at the grocery store when you buy a soft neck variety, you know, the interior core of the plant, there's really small ones, I probably wouldn't recommend planting those because, you know, it's not necessarily the case that the smaller the clove, the smaller that you plant, the smaller the head that you're going to get. That's not really the case. But those really, really small ones, I wouldn't recommend just because they don't technically or necessarily perform very well.
Sure.
Arlena, we just need to have a short break here for our sponsors. And this is really interesting. I know there's a lot more. In fact, I've got a couple of questions myself coming up. But our special guest today is Arlena Schott from Garden Wise Living with Arlena, and also Josh from Territorial Seed Company. And we're talking about garlic, every aspect of garlic. So we'll be right back. Just stay tuned, folks.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
If you're looking for a unique gift idea for that dog, cat, horse, or chicken lover, then look no further than HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a wide selection of gifts for both the home and farm. My favorite is the chicken noodle soup with noodles shaped like chickens. I'm sure you'll find everything you're looking for at HobbyHillFarm.com. That's HobbyHillFarm.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared.
but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size, flock, and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
Looking for an all-natural way to keep your flock healthy from intestinal parasites? Tired of wasting all those eggs due to a long withdrawal period? The answer is Vermex. With no artificial chemicals, Vermex has been a huge success for many species, offering a completely natural way to address intestinal hygiene control and improve general health. Check out the online store at www.vermexusa.com. VermexUSA.com to see what products you need to keep your animals healthy. Vermex, natural control of intestinal parasites.
Presenting the Clapper. Let your appliances turn on and off just by clapping.
Clap on, clap off, clap on, clap off.
The Clapper.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Great show today, Garden Wise Living with our Alina. And everybody's back live now, including you, Pat. So let's continue learning more about garlic.
I love to cook with garlic. Love it, love it, love it. Absolutely. Now, can you
garlic
tell me your favorite?
Garlic and butter. Yeah, garlic and butter.
Garlic and butter. So tell me your absolutely favorite things to do with cooking with garlic. Besides chicken now, Whisper, I know you're going to say chicken and garlic, but pastas, vegetables, anything out there very unusual that I don't know about? How about you, territorial seafood?
No, I'm trying to think about all the things that I've done so far this summer. Pesto, of course, is one of my favorites, especially if you can get fresh basil from your garden as well. I think I made something or another that called for an insanely large amount of garlic, and you never would have expected it because it was really good. Let me think about it for a while.
Okay, you think about it. I do this platter dish where I cut up many. I use a big platter, and I cut up many, many different things out of the garden. It can be cut up cucumbers in tiny little squares or whatever. I'm a rebel gardener, so I'm not going to get out the level or string line, but cut them up small so they're bite-sized. Tomatoes, and you do them in layers on the platter in strips. So you'd have a strip of tomatoes, a strip of bell peppers. All the colorful ones are really fun to use. Then I use a strip of tomatoes. Then I use a strip of, maybe I'll use a strip of sunflower seeds. Then I use a strip of raisins and cran raisins. And then a huge strip of garlic. And then whatever else you want to pull out of the garden, believe me, but that garlic is essential. Then I like to use a feta cheese or a really sharp, any kind of a really strong cheese, and crumble that in a big strip. And then what I do is I use balsamic vinegar and olive oil, and I drizzle that over the whole thing. And then that is kind of like our meal. And you use the French bread slices as your plate. And, of course, you have basil or any kind of fresh herbs that you might have. You would cut those, chop that up fine, and you put that in a strip. So, basically, you have this beautiful platter with all this goodness, and garlic is the number one. So you have this huge, because you want to use a spoon, and you dip in, and everybody can choose what things they want on their little bread plate. And it's really, really, really good. It's kind of, it's really addicting, let's put it that way.
It sounds delicious. I don't know if you could hear my stomach growling over the phone or not, but I promise you it will.
Mine too, Josh.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. How about you, Patrick? Pat, tell me, Patricia, what do you like to use garlic for?
Everything.
Everything, yes.
Pretty much everything.
Absolutely. Everything.
Yeah. I confess, yes. I'd even put it in omelets. It's come
oh,
out good,
yum.
So.
I just love it. I just pickled about 16 quarts
well, just yesterday, 16 quarts, and about 30 for the rest of the week. But anyway, quarts of pickled jalapenos, and large chunks of garlic go in there, just absolutely large chunks, just slightly smashed, and you throw them in, and you blend it all up, and it's just oof, just yummy, especially when you get that. It's kind of like the treat, whoever gets that big garlic clove in there that's been melding in the olive oil and the onions and the jalapenos, it's kind of a treat.
I remembered what my item was that involved a lot of garlic, and that was just your good old pasta sauce, too, like a marinara. And, you know, you cook it down for so long that it really mellows out the flavor, so you can put a lot of garlic in there. And just because it cooks for so long, it just has that really vibrant garlic flavor without being overly pungent.
Well, Josh, that sounds just delicious. Yum.
I know. I'm going to have to, like, get a snack when I get off the phone with you guys.
We're going to, and for that, and to that, I'm gonna toast you and take a sip of wine. Uh-oh.
Very good. Very good. Cheers.
What kind of,
cheers. Cheers.
What kind of cheese do you have with that wine?
Oh, let's see. I have a little Asiago. I have a little bit of sharp cheddar and some blue drizzled with some honey. Oh, yeah.
Now you're just torturing me.
Oh, no. Well, chicken manure, is it too hot? Is it Michelle Scott, or is it Michael? I'm sorry, I'm terrible. Can you use chicken manure on garlic, or is it too hot? Newly planted garlic.
My vote would be to wait until the spring. I would not plant, or I wouldn't do the chicken manure in the fall after you plant it, but in the spring when it starts warming up a little, I would say no, it is not too hot at all.
There you go. And another question was, can I use fresh chicken poop in my garlic bed on top or in the dirt? And then you just answered that, never in the soil. Mm-hmm. If not, how long does it have to compost first? I myself would let it compost over a season before I would use it directly on my beds. Yeah.
Anybody else? I would agree with you.
Yeah.
And Grover's asking about horseradish. Can we do a show on horseradish?
Absolutely. I love horseradish. Horseradish butter, I just got to have it. Absolutely. We will do some we'll do a horseradish show. Actually, Territorial Seeds, do you guys have horseradish roots?
We do sell horseradish roots, yep.
Oh, my. See, now we had some questions. And, yes, everybody was asking what to – we're off subject. But, you know, I am the rebel gardener, so I don't have to stay for the rules.
It's okay.
I don't have
to. Okay.
horseradish, a couple questions in there was, can I just buy one from the store? And my opinion on that is we don't know how it's been processed. We don't know how long they've been in cold storage. We don't know where they're from. And I have preached that many times, know where your food comes from. It's our job, not the store's job, but it is, as a consumer, our job to know where our food comes from. So what I would do is buy it from a reputed dealer like Territorial Seeds here. And I wonder what page it is on.
It's on page 40 of our spring catalog.
I just got the spring catalog, and I'm drooled all over it. I might need a new one.
Well, we're December. The new one comes out in December. That's what we're busy working on right now. So.
Oh, good. Horseradish. There it is right there. Amazing. Oh, yeah. Aromatic culture. The pungent, deep-rooted perennial is one of the easiest garden vegetables to grow. Absolutely. And there was a lot of question about whether or not it's invasive. And, yes, it is. But you can maintain it. It's just like anything else. It just takes a little bit of work,
And especially, if half whiskey barrel or something, if you wanted to grow that in a container, again, that would be one that would do very well. And around these parts where we have mild winters, we actually recommend planting it in a container just so that you can, contain it, of all things. It is. If you plant it in the ground, you can certainly keep it under control, too.
Absolutely can. And what I've always suggested to is to plant it in a container and then insert it in the soil. Just make sure that the lip of the container is above the soil because it will creep out. But that's another way to do it. Even here in Wisconsin, last year I had some roots given to me by a little old gardener buddy of mine, and I did the I have a pile of those uh-ohs that I didn't get planted.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that pile of uh-oh was in a bucket, and it was frozen solid. And I thought, oh, no, I've killed them. They're done. They're going to be rotten. They're going to be all mush. And you know what? Come spring, that thing unthawed, and there they were sprouted. They are the toughest things.
Yeah,
so
nice.
That's really nice to know that we can be able, we can do that even here in Wisconsin. But, of course, we have one of the largest horseradish growers that there is. It's Silver Springs just down the road from me. I mean, acres and acres and acres and acres of horseradish. So
nice.
Real exciting. Well, see, now people are excited about
listen, we're just about time to wrap it up with our trivia question. We've just got one trivia prize today. So any last final comments about garlic? I mean, I know we could talk literally weeks and weeks on the advantages of garlic, but any final thoughts, Josh or Alina?
Well, one quick thought is that we're almost sold out of it. It is flying out the door right now. So if you do want some, I would highly recommend. I mean, we're sold out of several of the varieties already, but we do have a decent amount left of some of them. So if you want to give it a shot, I would recommend ordering soon.
Okay, order now your garlic. Good,
yes.
Good advice.
Yes.
Good advice.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And eat
well,
lots
Josh,
of it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so very
it's
much.
It's been a
for
pleasure. Thank you
us.
So
it's
much for
fun.
Having me on. Yes, it's been a great time, and thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And Andy, any final thoughts or comments for our very special guests on today?
I'm thinking that I just may have to plant some garlic in the garden next year. It's plumb full with stuff this year, but maybe I'll have to get some garlic in and plant it and make it a part of my garden routine. So, Arlena, thank you very much. As always, people love you. People love your show, and we're glad that you're on the first and third Wednesdays of every month right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And you can follow her on Facebook and Twitter and visit her website, GardenWiseLiving.com.
And now Pinterest. Have you seen Pinterest?
I have not.
Pinterest? Oh, my gosh. Do we have to have another one? We have Twitter.
No
we have
kidding.
Facebook. Come on. Okay, anyway, I'll let you know.
All righty. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate you as always. Thank you. All righty, Pat. If you know today's early bird secret password, give us a call right now. Caller number 4. Caller number 4-347-637-3237 if you know today's early bird secret password. If you have not won anything from Ware Manufacturing in the last 30 days, you are eligible for this contest, a beautiful nesting box from Ware Manufacturing. Call now. Caller number 4. At 347-637-3237, if you know today's early bird secret password, if you know it, caller number 4, 347-637-3237. Bless you, buddy. Caleb just sneezed. And if you know, give us a call if you haven't won anything from Ware Manufacturing in the last 30 days. Nesting box. 347-637-3237. Call now. Call number 4. And, of course, you want to make sure you tune in tomorrow with our good friend and poultry scientist, Dr. Bridget McRae, Ph.D. She'll be joining us tomorrow. And then remember, this Friday, a Facebook Fun Friday. So we've got, again, awesome, awesome guest and another great lineup all next week as well here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Thank you very much, Pat, for running the show yesterday. I'm sure lots of folks
fun.
Enjoyed
Thank
it.
Thank you for letting
yeah.
me.
And yeah. not
that
a
was
problem.
A really hot show.
Yeah,
I learned so much on that show. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, Harvey Ussery is such a master of homesteading. I mean, we could have him on mm-hmm. routinely, and we'd always learn something from Harvey. And, great.
Absolutely. Okay, we're running out of time, so we're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4. Caller number 4, you're on the air with Andy and Pat calling in from area code 409. State your name and tell us where you're calling from, please.
Hey, this is Tally in Texas.
Tally in Texas, area code 409. She's real fine, my 409. I'm sorry. That's a totally different DJ show. So, well, congratulations. What is today's early bird secret password?
Predator.
Predator, it
That's
is.
Right.
Absolutely, yep. Tally. Congratulations, and we thank you for listening and being in the chat room on a regular basis. And you've won a nesting box from our good friends over at Ware Manufacturing. Just send me an email, chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net, chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. In the title, put nesting box winner. And then put your name, shipping address, phone number, and email. I'll get that over to Heather over at Ware Manufacturing. We'll get that nesting box out to you. So it pays to be on time every day here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Tomorrow we'll have a great prize to give away as well. 90 seconds left. Pat, take it away, my friend.
Okay, thanks, Whisper. Boy, now I can't hardly wait to get out to plant my garlic patch. I've got it all planned out. Thanks, Arlena. Our special guest was Arlena Schott from Garden Wise Living and Josh from Territorial Seed Company. If you want to order garlic, check out territorialseeds.com. Appreciation to our chat room chickeneers and all our listeners for tuning in and listening along with us. And, of course, blogtalkradio.com provides our radio, our chat, and video services. Andy Snyder is the Chicken Whisperer and the creator of this show. Thank you, Andy, for bringing us all together. Where would we be without you certainly having a lot more boring lunches? So he is definitely the wind under our wings. I'm Pat Forman, and from all of us, absolutely all of us, may the flock be with you. Quote the chicken evermore. Blessings to all.
Ha ha ha.